I don't think anyone in the NFL is going to be happy until the Chiefs play a game where every single play, there's a penalty thrown on the Chiefs and there are zero penalties thrown on the other team. And even then, people will be like, well, did you see? Patrick Mahomes gave a little glance to the official once. I'm pretty sure that this game is rigged. That's the only way people are ever going to be happy, is if the NFL turns the Chiefs into the mean machine from The Longest Yard and suddenly Patrick Mahomes is Paul Crewe getting every single flag thrown on him until he finally just darts a ball right into the referee's beanbags. That's the world we have to live in now because everybody's so sensitive. They can't accept the fact that their team's not good enough to beat the Chiefs. So they're going to go in and find a call that they didn't like.
That's just some Chiefs fan yelling about the Chiefs.
Are we in delay right now? I mean, is your hand on the button?
I don't even know if it works.
So I shouldn't say what I'd like to say?
Listen, there's something very funny about...
First word, go. Third word,
yourself.
No. Okay, go ahead. Move on.
Something very funny about a person saying, everyone's so sensitive. That's why I'm here on camera complaining about people complaining.
Yeah.
There's a Chiefs fan. Complaining people are sensitive.
Hey, Bills got away with one the other night. I mean, Mac Hollins should have been called for offense passer, but they missed a face mask against Ty Johnson. And I think, what was I was watching a play. I was watching one of the plays back last night, and I think they missed another. Somebody face masked Rousseau on one of the defensive plays. I don't remember which play it was. I remember watching the replay last night on the TV show thinking, hey, I think that guy face masked Rousseau.
Yeah.
Ah, whatever. Chiefs suck.
Listen, penalties did not become a story of that game.
No, of course not.
So they let a lot go. There were only 9 calls total in the whole football game.
Okay.
Right. The alternative is Bills Jets on Monday night, which was one of the worst football games I've ever seen.
No. Yeah. How you boys doing?
Good. Howard's here. He's going to pick the Bills in a minute. We could talk about the game. We could talk about, you know, the AFC picture.
I feel pressure, though. We're in Lindy's spot.
Yeah, they're out west.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about the power play or the penalty kill or...
I mean...
No? Okay.
I don't think you need to.
They're doing just fine.
Not after
so,
Saturday.
I know we're here to talk about the Bills. I know the Bills beat the Chiefs. Yeah. Whatever. One seed. Whatever. But let's talk about the really important stuff. How'd you do at the chili cook-off? I saw your tweet.
We're going to have to go back and watch the film.
Oh, really?
You know, get a look at the film.
I think they tried some new stuff. I don't know if the coaching staff is going to want to...
Not so good, huh?
Yeah.
If you say... Got to go back and look at the film. That usually means it was a bad day.
He didn't say burn the tape, though.
No,
well,
quite say
a bad
that.
Day.
No,
that's
no.
Right.
I did not
he
win.
Burned the chili.
I did not win the family chili kickoff. Hey, listen, it's just an honor to continue to be a part of it. I will say, while I did not win the voting, I did take a picture of all the crock pots next to each other at the time the voting closed.
Yeah.
And mine was the emptiest. Hashtag people's champ. That's the people's champ right there.
I believe so. If yours was the emptiest, it means yours is the one everybody wanted more from.
Were all the crock pots the same size, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. My father.
Like mine was the emptiest. He put out a little bowl with like barely just a taste each.
In true family fashion, my father-in-law won, and during the ceremony of handing the trophy from one to the next, it fell on the ground and broke.
Oh,
wow. No.
Come on.
Great moments.
Broke enough to where there'll be a new trophy now, or are we going to repair the old one?
We're talking about going with a jacket.
Yeah. Are you now going into R&D to try and figure out how to tweak the recipe for next year?
Listen, you just trust the process, baby. You know, right. We're gonna learn from it. We're gonna get better every day, and you know, we'll be back.
There's always next year.
Listen, I'm like Tomlin. I already have a win, so you can't question whether or not I can.
Okay.
Harbaugh, Tomlin, all the McCarthy. I could be Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, but people.
These guys have Super Bowls.
People were using the D word about you, the dynasty.
Dynasty?
Like they were talking about a dynasty in the making here.
Yeah, well, we thought we might be. Nothing happened. Anyway.
Took a little step back.
Bills Chiefs.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. Heck of a game. Terrific win, really. Terrific win for
How
me.
Stressed were you? Was it no stress because a loss wouldn't be that big a deal?
No. I was pretty stressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little more stressed than I thought. Well, I can't stand the Chiefs. Nobody likes the Chiefs. The Chiefs are Tom Brady and the Patriots. Everybody hates the Chiefs now. They were a really cool story, right? We all rooted for them when they won that first Super Bowl. And I think I rooted for them when they won their second Super Bowl. But after that, now it's tired. So I was a little more stressed than I thought I was going to be. Because, look, I never thought we'd be sitting here after 11 games and talking about the Bills in the one seed race and looking at the schedules of the other teams. I just didn't think this team was good enough to do that. So with that much on the table and wanting to beat the Chiefs, yeah, I was stressed. How are you guys?
Was I stressed? I was stressed. Yeah, no, I was. I was looking up the line to see if I could bet the Chiefs, maybe. Like if they
emotional hedge.
Emotional hedge a little bit when they scored a touchdown. Because they moved down the field with such ease on that drive in the fourth quarter.
That was coming. How many times have we seen that?
Like, it was just like
I even tweeted it out.
Yeah.
This is where Mahomes goes right down the field. When you get that touchdown to get a two-possession game and you think, we're going to beat these guys, that's when he goes right down the field.
It was very much just a here-we-go type of moment.
Yeah.
And there are a couple different moments on that drive where it's like, oh, don't end it here. Even the fourth down, sure, there's anxiety there because he gets it, and it ends up being a 9-point win. If he does not, it is like everyone assumes they would have lost the game, I think, if they don't get that first down. If Chris Jones, who I saw some breakdown, like he went inside and kind of opened up that lane for Allen. If he doesn't do that and he stays where he was and Allen can't run, then what happens? Do they get the first? Because now, again, the Chiefs have like a minute plus to go and they just need a field goal.
And that's the thing, too. If you go back and watch that play, Torrance did a nice job, actually. And I think it was, I'm trying to remember who. Oh, it would have been
Torrance did help push him inside.
Vandermark. He pushed Karlaftis wide.
Yeah.
But then there were a couple of Chiefs defenders. As Josh starts to run before he hits the line of scrimmage, there are two Chiefs defenders who could have closed on him, but they couldn't leave the guys they were covering.
Right.
Because you never know with Josh Allen, right? He might throw the ball at the very last possible second.
Mm-hmm.
So that kept the lane open because those guys had to stay with their receivers. That was an amazing play. There were definitely some obscenities that were flying out when he hit the end zone. But, yeah, no, big win. Big win because we're talking about the one seed now.
Yeah. We were talking about this earlier, too. What is the greatest moment in the stadium's history? Because there were a couple people that wanted to nominate
play
that.
Yeah.
Single moment.
Single moment.
Honestly, I don't have an answer for you because we were discussing this. Bove brought this up about that Josh play being in the time he's covered the Bills. He said it's the most amazing moment he's seen at that stadium. So, I'm going back to the 90s, obviously. I can think of games. I can't think of a signature moment.
Yeah.
Like the 51-3 was a blowout. You know, there was an interception return. Carlton Bailey had an interception return against Denver in the AFC Championship. That's a singular moment probably because I think
that's
won 10-7.
Right? Yeah,
that was a huge play. So I'm sure I'm missing something, fellas. So the older Bills fans that are listening, feel free to tweet at me and let me know what singular play, like an iconic. I mean, the Kelly run against Miami was on the road.
Right.
That wasn't at the stadium in 89. So I got to think about that one. I don't really have a moment. If the stadium was full, it would have been the Taron Johnson pick six.
Mm-hmm.
But there were, 6,000 people in the building for that game?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have, nothing pops to my head from other than Carlton Bailey's pick six.
Honorable mention to the kick to win it for the Browns when they won it 6-3.
I got a text. Now, I wasn't in the building for this, but the Hines kickoff against New England.
Yeah.
After the DeMar Hamlin game,
yeah,
which was that's Hollywood. So yeah, I do. I need to think about that a little bit more. I mean, I got games. I just don't know of a singular play. I mean, there was the game-winning kick in the comeback game.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
Christie hits the field goal and the place goes bonkers. So anyway,
well, let's
what are
get
you guys
to
thinking
for
one
pick,
seed?
Pick the Bills.
One seed chances.
I think they're really live. I think they are really live.
Did you look at the last three games of the Chiefs schedule?
I've looked. They have a stretch even before that. They have three games in 10 days at Cleveland, home Houston, at Pittsburgh, and then they finish at Denver.
Who should have just beat them in Kansas City?
Yeah. And they play the Chargers still. I think they could definitely drop two more games and keep this alive.
What we'll do is we'll have you pick the Bills and tell you what the New York Times playoff machine says about the one seed odds with your picks.
Are we considering the Steelers in this discussion? We can't, right?
I think you How the have heck to are they mention them, but Look well, they're 8-2 because they actually have a real quarterback now.
Yeah, they still had no touchdowns the other day and won. They had six field goals and won the football game.
That is, even Tomlin said it. He got asked, if I told you before that game, you weren't going to score a touchdown and win the football game, and his answer was Ravens Steelers. That defense, they know how to stop Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, he was terrible.
Just they stop every time they play Lamar Jackson. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's standing back there all the time in the world. They're like almost daring him to scramble. There's nobody open. Like they know they're going to keep him under 20 points every time they play him.
Did you see Scott Pianowski's tweet about the last eight games in that series, the scores of the last eight Steelers-Ravens games?
Yeah.
I think one time somebody hit 20 points.
Right, and nobody has scored more than 20.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
All right, let's get to Howard Picks the Bills. It is time. We have 6 games remaining. Current Bills are 42% to get the one seed. Let's see where they are after Howard Picks.
A tradition unlike any other.
When they throw the ball to Curtis Samuel, there must be a memo that said you can only throw to him at or behind the line of scrimmage. Why is he here?
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills.
Their average margin of victory this season is 6 points. They have one win by 10 points. Their biggest blowout is 13 points. I cannot pick Kansas City. So I'm going to say the Bills will win, assuming one or both of Cooper and Kincaid will be available.
Allen has to throw it wide open. It's Samuel scampering to the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right. So we're at the bye week, of course.
How about that Curtis Samuel, by the way?
Yeah. Who you want to call out next so they can have a good game, too?
We settled with Tyler Bass to stop missing extra points. Do you know if he misses one more extra point this season, that equals the grand total of PATs he missed his first 4 years?
Wow.
He's missed four. He had 5 misses his entire career before this season. Anyway.
Back from the bye, Bills-Niners.
The Bills have never lost the first game out of the bye in the Sean McDermott era. They are 7-0. Mm-hmm. But I have a question for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please explain the 49ers to me?
Oh, Shanahan's a fraud. Total fraud.
Is he serious? Or
can't
is he
deal
sarcastic?
With injuries.
You're not being serious, are you?
Chuck Pagano, same win percentage. I'm mostly kidding.
Okay.
Half kidding.
Because I don't understand San Francisco. I really have no idea how they lose some of the games they lose.
I think they lost this last game because they lost Nick Bosa. The second he went out, they couldn't get a pass rush, and Geno Smith immediately drove them down for 2 touchdowns.
Kittle didn't play, right?
And Kittle, I mean, that really is the answer, right? The Niners are kind of like, who's been the team for this? The Chargers? Every year, it's guys, Chargers just get injuries. Every year. That's the Niners now.
Yeah,
this is going to be 3 seasons with Shanahan that have just imploded because everybody gets hurt.
Hmm. I will take the Bills to continue the Sean McDermott after the bye streak and go 8-0 in his tenure.
So that means 10-2.
10-2.
And heading out west to play the Rams. So they're 4:25 kickoff. The next 3 games are not in the 1 o'clock window, and then they finish with 3 in the 1 o'clock window. But Bills at Rams.
Should I be worried about the Rams, fellas? What are your thoughts on the Rams? They looked really good. I mean, it's New England, but still, they looked really good, offensively anyway.
The one thing about the Rams is the Bills have the corners to play with them.
Right.
Yeah.
The Patriots have Christian Gonzalez as their one really good corner.
Yeah.
And I saw a breakdown that they don't have him travel with one receiver if they feel that the other team has 2 good receivers.
Well, and the Rams
did. And basically whoever he was not covering lit up the Patriots. So I think the Bills have the corners to cover Kupp, Puka, whatever. Like I think they'll be okay. The Rams might get their points. I think I have a little healthy respect for the Rams, but at the same time, it's Howard picks the Bills.
Well, we have to cross off the Trey White revenge game as a motivating factor for the Rams, so I will take the Bills to beat Los Angeles.
Bills win. Coming back, 4:25, Bills at Lions.
They scored 52 points the other day.
They did.
They have their longest win streak in 90 years. And shouldn't Jared Goff be in the MVP discussion?
Probably.
He shows up for work, completes 80% of his passes, throws multiple touchdowns. They put up 30 points, 40 points, and they win.
Mm-hmm. He has 20 touchdowns and 9 picks.
I didn't know he had that many picks, actually. I thought he would have fewer.
He did throw 5 in a game last
week. Yeah, that's right. And they won.
Yeah.
I will take the Lions in this game. I feel like they are an unstoppable machine right now.
Bills, Patriots.
I'm just going to say, if you look at the schedule and you try and figure out if there's one game left where you kind of go, oh dear God, how did they lose that game? It's one of the Patriot games, obviously. They're not losing to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, Mr. White, Drake May looks good. I'm just saying. He's better than Mac Jones, and the Bills lost to Mac Jones one time, mm-hmm. who led a game-winning drive against them. I will take the Bills. I'm just saying. I will take the Bills to beat the Patriots, though.
All right. Good news is the Patriots coach is not good.
Yeah. Well, and the Bills obviously are clearly the better team, but mm-hmm. they may have found a quarterback who can actually make plays for them.
Bills win home against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Home Jets.
Yeah, I mean, even as bad as the Jets' history has been, longtime reporters who've covered this team forever are saying this is the most disappointing, embarrassing season in Jets history, which really says a lot based on the history of that franchise. Bills will beat the Jets.
And then to close the season,
this is the game that would make me nervous if stuff's on the line.
Bills at Patriots.
But I think the Bills will win.
Okay. If that schedule plays out, the Bills have a 74% chance to get the one seed, according to the New York Times playoff machine.
Thought it would have been a little higher, actually.
74%.
I mean, they'd be 14-3.
I didn't pick any Chiefs games.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You need the Chiefs to lose
twice.
They
got to lose two games.
Yep, they have to lose twice.
Not happening in their next two games, Carolina and Vegas.
Check. Are we sure the Steelers are going to get their losses?
Steelers play
the Browns this week.
Look at... And then at Cincy, they could lose to Joe Burrow.
They could definitely lose to
Cincinnati. And then the Browns. But after that, look what happens after that. At Philly, at Baltimore, home Kansas City, home Cincinnati to close the season.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough stretch.
That's very tough. And they just have to lose
one to fall out of the...
I think they'll get enough losses.
Well, depending on who's got the best conference record, right? If it came down to the Bills and the Steelers.
Right.
They should lose at least two of those games.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to whether Kansas City loses two more games somewhere.
I would predict they will lose two of those.
Somewhere, you would think in that last few, I could definitely see them losing in Denver.
I think they could lose to the Chargers. I know they'd be home in that game, yeah. But the Chargers look good. I
don't think they lose at home to Houston.
But there's four games there to me. It's Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Broncos. Yeah. That's the four-game stretch.
Right.
I need them to lose two of those.
Yeah.
I think that's realistic.
All right.
Well, we've done our job.
Don't have to pick the playoffs yet.
I was wondering when you guys were going to crank that up.
You know, I did plug into your picks into the ESPN playoff machine, but I don't have the other teams picked. I could do it based on like who would be favored.
Now, Joe, didn't you?
If we just do that, though, the Chiefs are just going to finish 16-1, and then you'll get Bills Broncos.
I saw. Denver's tough. That's
another point here. If the two seed,
yeah.
You're
in a tough seven.
You're not avoiding Mason Rudolph by getting the one.
Right.
You're avoiding what I think is a much better seven seed. The 5, 6, and 7 in the AFC look better than the last couple of years.
Well, right. Are we anticipating the 5 is going to be the number 2 team in the AFC North? The Chargers are the 6, which leaves Denver probably, or Miami, Cincinnati, Indy.
Yeah.
I think Denver.
I think it's going to be Denver.
Yeah.
Chargers could be the 5.
Yes, they could.
Yeah.
Who would be the biggest possible pushover for the 7?
Colts.
Miami?
Colts.
For the Bills specifically?
I would still always worry about Hill and Tua and everything.
All right.
But I would say the Colts. I really wouldn't worry about Anthony Richardson beating the Bills in a playoff game.
No, me neither.
Here. But I saw a tweet. I don't know if it was you, Joe, or not. It's possible the Bills could clinch the division against San Francisco.
No, I saw that. I saw Sal.
Sal's tweet.
Someone pointed out to Sal yesterday, and the last I saw this was that Sal checked the math on it, and he thinks that it's right. He believes he has it right. That the Bills could have the division clinched before they play the Niners.
Wow.
That the Dolphins would have to lose. They would have to lose to the Patriots, but that could happen.
It's doable.
They'd have to lose to New England, and then you need the Jets to lose to whoever they play next. And there's a scenario the Bills, could clinch the AFC East before they play football
again.
I thought their magic number was 2.
Maybe it's Miami then losing 2 more games.
Oh, right, because the Bills will play Sunday night. That's right.
Miami will have 2
games.
That's
how they could have clinched by the time they play.
Right, okay. Here it is.
The next two games.
The Dolphins would have to lose to New England and then lose to the Packers, which is next week, Thursday night football.
It's both very doable.
Wait, that's Thanksgiving. That's the Thanksgiving night game, Packers, yeah. Dolphins. And then you need the Jets to go out and lose to the Seahawks. And then the Bills clinch.
It's not far-fetched.
No.
All right.
What else? What else is going on? Anything?
Anything new in the world, boys? You guys are doing all right? What's new on the front with the kids? Anything exciting happening?
No.
All's good?
Yeah.
Christmas shopping done?
Getting started.
We both have our lights up.
Yeah, I have Christmas lights up already.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It was nice on Saturday, and I thought, I'm going to do this now.
Yeah, do it now while it's like 50 degrees out.
I said that to my wife, whatever day last week when we had 50, 60 degrees. I said, do you want to put lights up? She said, no, it's too early. I said, yeah, but it's warm out.
Yep.
And then she'll turn to me when it's 30 and flurrying and go, can we put the lights up?
Put them up and just don't turn them on yet.
That's what I told her.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't put them up.
Hmm.
I'm the sucker that goes out when it's cold and you can't feel your fingers when you're hanging the stupid thing icicles over the gutter.
Yeah. We've got like the fully customizable lights around the house now that you can make any color through
those.
An app.
Yeah,
so when the Bills won on Sunday, it was like blue, red, and white, you know, flashing
like
back and forth.
Lighting up the electric tower. That's really cool.
Yeah. You'll enjoy this because when the red light is on, you could dim them. So we did that because in our window, there was like red light coming through, and I texted that picture to my brother, and he sent back the picture of Kramer with the chicken light.
Oh, the chicken, yeah, the Kenny Rogers roasters.
Hit back from it, and the red light coming through. So that's going on.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure to see you, fellas.
Anything else new? No.
Good luck enjoying that Sabres late night game.
Mm. Yeah, we will not be doing that.
And getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
Rosen been called up by the Sabres. He was acquired in which trade? He's the
Ristolainen
trade.
No, yeah, the Reinhardt trade is, if we're keeping track at home, Kulik and Levi.
Okay.
And then Ristolainen is Rosen. Ristolainen, the one former Saber that's not like a superstar.
Nobody
left.
He's actually
Reinhardt's like number one in the league in goals again. Eichel's insane.
I've seen some advanced stuff on Risto that he's actually fine now, and that
really?
Tortorella saved him. Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
Just this year?
I didn't think he was savable.
He's totally serviceable for them this year.
Wow.
I mean, whatever.
I saw he's playing like 16 minutes a night. Maybe that's how he saved him. He's like playing him further down the lineup.
It's worth pointing out, like this guy that's coming up for the Sabres tonight, Rosen, he's not played very much with them at all.
Seven games.
And
he's averaged 8 minutes.
The Ristolainen trade.
Yeah.
7 games. Sabres had all these first round picks, and we still are just like, Benson went nuclear past all of them immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And everybody else is just a non-factor. Really.
Usually it takes 2 years, though, right? Like, on average. For the ones that are good. Yeah. For the ones that are good. Like, Kulik's here now.
But Kulik's got to be here regularly.
Of the prospects, I've never been excited about Rosen because just he was drafted. This is his fourth season since being drafted. Generally, I think you get to year four and you're not in the league yet. I'm not thinking about you anymore.
Yeah.
All right. 803-0550. Our phone number. Thanks, Howard. We're going to have Paul coming up next. He'll talk to us about some of the Sabres moves, what they've done, and of course, sending Devin Levi down to Rochester as well. It is Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
We'll talk to Lindy Ruff in an hour. They're out west, the Sabres are, for a little trip, so we've pushed Lindy back a bit. We'll check in with Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline to chat about the Sabres and some moves they made. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I was going to piggyback a little on your first-round guys conversation. I like McLeod, and they gave up one of those first-round picks to get McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's turned into he's just what they needed. You know, they needed a good two-way guy. I think he's been a little bit more offensive than maybe some people expected. He can skate. I mean, he makes them a lot faster. So that was one first-round pick they turned into him. Austlin had told them when they drafted him he was going to play overseas for 2 years. He did that. Now he played 6 games with the Amherst and he got hurt. When I was writing about Rosen yesterday, I kind of agree with you. I'm not real excited about the prospect of him becoming much of a NHL guy, but you still don't know at age, 21, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that could, I suppose, turn around. In the 7 games he played last year, I wasn't real excited about what I saw. But I'm looking forward to the guy they got this year, Hellenius. Oslin, I really liked in the prospects tournament. So now that he's here in North America, we'll see what kind of development they can get out of him. Those two players are kind of like the same. I actually thought if the Sabres were going to trade one of their picks, it might be Oslin because Hellenius is just like him, but it wound up being Savoy.
Yeah, really, on this, Paul, like, we were talking about the first-round picks and how, like, they've drafted a bunch of them, but, like, where are they? Like, really, the where are they for me, because you're right to point out McLeod. The guy, based on timelines, how long development takes, and then, you know, you get your rookie season out of the way, the first-round pick that really you should be looking at for production on this team right now that you're not getting it from is Jack Quinn.
Yes, and that's I'm not surprised by much. I'm very surprised by that. I really am. I mean, last year he only played 27 games, but he was on almost a 30-goal pace. When he played, I thought he played well and he was producing. Now he's not even like, boy, he had a couple of great opportunities. He's not even getting the opportunities, which, you know, tells me that, you know, he's still being hindered in some way, you know, from the injuries that he's suffered so far. It's kind of like Samuelson. If Samuelson could ever get back to where he was when he first got up to Buffalo, you got a really good defenseman, but have injuries taken their toll so much on this guy that will he ever be able to get back to that? I mean, that's a huge question mark. You know, injuries do take a toll on your body, but that's the only thing I can think of Quinn. I don't have a lot of answers there for him because I thought with the shot and the release he has that this guy is going to be a 30-goal scorer in the league. There was no question in my mind, and he still could be. But you got to get some scoring opportunities to be able to score 30 goals.
Paul, this seems like a bigger picture thing. We're talking to Paul Hamilton ahead of the Sabres trip out west. You know, the Don Granato years, without making this point, just Granato to Lindy. The Granato year of growth was about players finding another level and development all going in the right direction for a lot of different guys. And it sounds like right now what we're talking is about a number of guys that have either plateaued or are coming back a bit. I mean, I might want, like, if we're going for the full list here, we're at Cousins, Quinn, Samuelson, sure, Levi's going back down. He's not playing well. That might be a different animal.
Should I even bother to force Dahlin into this? Because he certainly played better 2 years ago than he has since.
Yeah, like, again, without saying it's Lindy's fault, it seems like you're just talking about a number of players who individually are not currently going in the right direction.
Yeah, and Cousins is starting to play a little bit better. Who knows what direction that is going to end up in, because we certainly have seen him play some good hockey, and we've seen him play some hockey where he struggled. When it comes to Cousins and Dahlin, I think they just get so crazy in their mind that it affects, you know, Dahlin. I mean, here we are with the penalty thing again. I mean, and Clifton is going to pay the price. I'm fine with that. That wasn't a real smart cross-checking penalty he took. I mean, you're at Philadelphia. You don't have your leading goal scorer, and you take a penalty, right, you know, pretty much right away, a cross-checking penalty, which doesn't need to be taken. You got away with that one. Now you take another penalty, and next thing you know, you leave the period down 2-0. And now let's let Dahlin step in. Because Ruff said after the game, he's getting tired of these penalties. He's been bringing it up, and people are going to start paying with ice time. Well, we already know Clifton is not playing for Wednesday. Henry Jokiharju is back in the lineup, so he's going to pay the price. But what happened in the second period, down 2-0? The Sabres' power play is red hot. They finally got their first power play of the game. You score a power play goal there, it's 2-1. How long did it take Rasmus Dahlin to get beat and take a penalty?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it was like 20 seconds, and he took away the power play. Okay, things happen. So now they get another penalty, power play a couple of minutes later. Guess who takes a slashing penalty to take the power play away? Rasmus Dahlin. He loses his head, and then he winds up scoring a power play goal later, but it's 4-0 by that point. If he scores the power play goal when it's 2-0, and makes it 2-1, now maybe we're having a totally different conversation about how that game ends up. But I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or funny at all by saying this. There is one player that misses Don Granato desperately, and it's Rasmus Dahlin. Because Granato, when Dahlin was not playing very well 2 or 3 years ago, Granato made a conscious decision that he is going to build this guy up after every single practice, after every single game. He stood at a podium and told us what a great player and what a great game and what a great practice and everything about it. Didn't matter if he had a great game or not. He stood up there and it got embarrassing after a while. But you know what? Don Granato didn't care. If he could get the best out of Rasmus Dahlin by showing him that he cares and that he's got his back, he didn't care if he stood up there and made a fool of himself. And it worked. Rasmus Dahlin really started playing well. I think he just said to himself, my coach has my back, and off he went. And now this year, it's just a season to nowhere. I mean, he has just been awful for most of the year. His offense is starting to come back a little bit, but he just cannot operate. And, you know, I swallowed the Kool-Aid. In the beginning, when it became evident to me, it's like, well, the way he's building up Dahlin, he's the next captain of the Sabres, and I don't think it's a good idea at all. And then it grew on me. And by last year, I'm saying, you know what, I think maybe I was wrong. I think it is a good idea. And I remember saying at locker cleanout day, Tage Thompson, I thought, wow, this guy might be a pretty good captain. But I didn't really change my mind off Dahlin. I thought, yeah, Dahlin, you know, has really come along with Granato to take the next step and everything. He really does. They all care, but he really does care. But his temper gets in the way of him. And then, you know, they're losing. So then he thinks he has to win the game all by himself. But it's the temper, the part where he takes the stupid penalties and makes the dumb play. How about that play at center ice where he's sitting there tied up with a guy as the rush is coming his way, and he's standing there at the blue line trying to start a fight, and next thing you know, the puck's in the net. It's like, what are you doing? You know, your captain can't be doing that. And the more I sit and listen to Tage Thompson almost every single interview, I thought to myself, I was wrong. Tage Thompson should be the captain of this team. But you can't change it now, because if you take the captaincy away from Dahlin now, you got to trade him.
I'm trying to think, like, how many times it's happened where you've done that, where the guy that gets it stripped isn't old, right? Like, didn't the Leafs do this? They took it off Tavares and gave it to Matthews.
But Tavares was right on board. It wouldn't surprise me if Tavares went to the Leafs and said, you know what, I think Matthews should be the captain. I'm all for it.
Right, right. All I'm getting at is timelines there. It's like, all right, you're an aging vet. You don't need it. It's, you know, a handing of the torch.
Patrick Marleau.
Okay, Marleau, a handing of the torch, that kind of thing. To take it off a guy supposed to be in his prime seems like, yeah, you can't do it.
Brown with the LA Kings, they did that too.
Okay. Well, Paul, the Sabres have a streak of trading their captains. I mean, you know.
Well,
yeah, but the way he's playing now with the contract he has, I don't know. Is it a tradable contract right now?
Wow. I mean, these are dark times for the Sabres, who are.
People get all excited, I'm not saying they should trade Rasmus
Dahlin. No, I know.
I'm just saying he has a contract that would make it very difficult. I am not willing to give up on him at all yet, but it's not going well right now, and it's frustration and him losing his head. He runs hot, and then he does something dumb, and it winds up in their net.
Speaking of in the net, Paul. Levi, we got you on, among other things, to talk about Devon Levi and him going down to Rochester. He's going to need to play. They're not getting good play from Levi. I don't know they can expect anything better from Reimer, so the idea is to just make sure Levi gets some development time.
Yeah, he had to. It just wasn't working up here. He had gone almost a month playing one game when Luukkonen, who has to play to be good, played 9 to 10 games, and Luukkonen was starting to be Luukkonen again. And that's the problem they have right now with their two young goaltenders. As I'm starting to watch their habits and everything, they're both goalies that if they're going to be good, they got to play a lot. Well, you can't play them both a lot. The alternating goaltender worked for Levi. It didn't work for Luukkonen. He wasn't as good as he was last year. As soon as he got the net for 9 out of 10 games, right before the Montreal game, which he played injured, he had like a 1.49 goals against in like 4 or 5 starts and a very high save percentage. I think it was up around 940. He was starting to look like Luukkonen again, but he's got to play a lot. And, you know, Levi told Lindy Ruffin, I think he said in an interview too, that this is the first time he's ever had to sit. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to handle it. So I think both could be good goalies in the NHL eventually, but I don't think they can be a tandem, because in order for them, either one of them, to be a good goalie, they have to play a lot. And so the Sabres are going to have a half, you know, in the next year or two, are going to have to make a decision on which one they're going to go with. And Levi, you know, wouldn't shock me if it's not this summer, the next summer, if it goes like this and Luukkonen continues to be the number one goalie, if he would ask to be traded, because you know he wants to play. And honestly, in order for him to be a really good goalie, I think he does have to play a lot.
Kings, Ducks, Sharks on this Western trip. Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
We'll talk to Lindy Ruff about some of these issues coming up at 9:30. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Second and six. Rush. Ball knocked out of his hand and ends up in the arms of Clayton. He gets it knocked out by Petrie, and the return for the touchdown by Derek Barnett.
Defensive touchdown, big man touchdown, two fumbles on the same play for the Cowboys. Yeah, that's how it goes. Houston won last night.
Can we go next week without Dallas on primetime, at least? Who we got on primetime this week? Browns-Steelers, you said, was the Thursday night game. Sunday night football this week is the Eagles and Rams. And then Monday night is Ravens-Chargers. Ooh, I like that a lot. Ravens-Chargers on Monday Night Football?
Juicy.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's the Harbaugh Bowl.
That is the Harbaugh Bowl, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Into that. We got a pretty good slate. Niners-Packers on the 425 window. Before that, 1 o'clock, there doesn't look like there's much, to be honest. But otherwise, looks pretty good.
Very much so. Sabres after dark this week.
Yes.
Kings, Ducks, Sharks.
Two of those teams are Sharks and Ducks, I believe, are second and third worst in the NHL. And let's just say if the Sabres don't beat both of those teams, there might be a little bit of a theme out there that the Sabres lose to the worst teams in the league. They already lost to Columbus, right, earlier in the year. They lost to Montreal, who's, I think, second last in the NHL, or fourth last in the NHL right now. Philly was near the bottom. I think they're a little higher now. They lost to them on Saturday. So beat the Ducks or Sharks, or else everyone's going to see that, oh, wait a minute, you're blowing tons of points here when you're playing the worst teams in the league, and that's maybe the difference between a playoff spot.
Yeah. At one point, Lindy said he thought the number was 50 wins. Did he say 50 or 40 wins?
I think he said 50.
I think he said 50 wins. Like, you want to make the playoffs, you should try and win 50 games. And Lance Lesowski tweeted today, there's a story, like, he just put the standings up in the locker room, which is something that, it's funny, like, it's a Lindy thing. I remember when they did that in the old locker room. It might have been on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
With markers, where someone would go in and update the standings when this might be like 2003 or 2004, where they're trying to get in. And we got to see the standings, everybody. We want to look at the standings. They are, well, 2 points out of third in the division, but Tampa has two games in hand. They've kind of come right back to blowing it. They are a zero on goal differential. Mm-hmm. Boston is the worst in the division.
They lost to Columbus last night.
Minus 21 on goals, Boston. They're bad, and they're still 19 points to the Sabres, 17. Sabres have two games in hand. Anyway.
They're hanging around. That's the frustrating thing. Is they've had these games against bad teams. They've lost Philly. They just don't even show up on Saturday night, and they're still sitting there 2 points out of a spot with games in hand. Like, they should be sitting in a spot right now.
Yep.
The opportunity is just right there. The whole conference is saying, "Go ahead, somebody, Ottawa,
who wants it?
Detroit, somebody want to get their act together? Like, here you go, take it." And nobody's taking it.
803-0550. We'll talk with Lindy coming up at 9:30 a little later today for our conversation behind the bench, because, of course, they are out west. So stay tuned for that. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.